Today, being graduation all and thinking about change and moving into some new challenges and so forth, and I always think of it in terms of, you know, now we're ready to get out there and start making an impact. And God does want us to make an impact. If we're Christian young people, He wants us to make an impact. And not just when we're young, but all throughout our lives. But there's certain things. Some are going to make a difference for good, and some are going to make a difference, unfortunately, for ill. And we see them on the news day by day. And then some aren't even going to make a ripple. And I mean, that's life. That's the way it is. And it really does come down not just to the course of study we took or all of that, but it just comes down to a whole bunch of things. So I hope today this is the kind of thing that would be interesting to hold on to and glance at once in a while. And, you know, we need things to keep us on course sometimes. And just look at it later on. But we do have some scriptures today which speak, I think, to the meaning of what it is to be a Christian, and they're from Mark and Matthew. So they'll be up here, I think, on the screen, and they're also on the back of this yellow sheet. So let's stand together, shall we, in honor of God's Word. Father, we thank You that You are ever the same and that You do not change and that You keep Your promises. And we thank You that that is so in another way, and that is because we know that if we follow Your way, we know that if we follow Your will, we know that if we do the things that You tell us, we will be blessed because You have told us so in Your Word. So, Lord, today we pray that for all of us are starting something new. All of us are starting some new phase in our lives, even if we're older. And Lord, we do, as Your people, we want to make a difference for You for eternity. And so guide us, Lord, today, I pray, and help us to have that attitude. I'm not anything special in myself, but through the Lord dwelling in me and through the Lord strengthening me, I can be a light. I can be salt. I can make a difference. And by His grace, I'll be available to Him to use me in any way He sees fit. That's the attitude we ask for today, Lord. And that's what we ask for our young people as they move to the next phase. Give us ears to hear Your Word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. This could be a long sermon because I have 10 points today. 10 ways not to make a difference, which of course is a way of saying if you do these things, you will make a difference. So we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on each one, but if you're of those who like to fill in the blanks or whatever, it's in your bulletin right there. We'll fill in a few blanks there. So let's start right out. There are things we can do that will ensure that we will make a difference. Now, these aren't specific actions. These are attitudes. These are attitudes and ways of approaching life. That's what we're talking about today. And if we have them, we will make a difference for the Lord. And if we don't, we won't. And it's that simple. And I have down here toward the end, God wants you to make a difference for Him. Will you? When the world talks about making a difference, and there are great people out in the world, and they've made a big difference in medical science or in sociology or in whatever. But as Christians, we want to make a difference for God. Amen? So let's go to point number one. You will probably not make a difference if you are a people pleaser. There is so much pressure today to give in to what other people want and to be part of the group and not to think independently. And people that think independently are looked at as a little bit suspect. And we can go that route and we can have an easier road and we can have a more peaceful life. But I'm just here to tell you today, as someone who turned 60 last October, that if you are a people pleaser, you will never make a significant difference in any area of life. How do you know if you're a people pleaser? This list could be very long. I've given 3 points here. You know the Jeff Foxworthy thing, you may be a redneck if, well, you may be a people pleaser if it's more important to you to be liked than to do the right thing. Time to take a little personal inventory. B, you may be a people pleaser if you're willing to change who you are to be accepted. And C, you may be a people pleaser if you'll give in to others, that is, compromise your convictions, if you will give in to others to gain their approval. And so my prayer for you today, Jesus was not a people pleaser. Jesus gave his whole life in service of people and of humanity, and nobody loved people more than the Lord Jesus Christ. But he did not allow people to set his agenda. He was not looking for what the high priest thought about it, or what the leaders of the Jewish Sanhedrin in Jerusalem thought about it, or what the people on the street thought about it. He was looking to please his heavenly Father. And if we have any goal in life other than to please our heavenly Father, then we are wrongly motivated. And people pleasing is one of the main things that gets in the way that we will not follow the will of God. Can I hear an amen from any quarter? And it's an absolute fact. And I'm not immune from that. Every single one of us, I don't care, you may be a CEO, but there's going to be pressure to give in some areas. And if being liked or accepted is higher on our list than pleasing God, then we've got our agenda wrong. And we may make a difference in some areas, but we won't make a difference where it counts and where the Lord wants us to make a difference. Number two, you will probably not make a difference if you are inconsistent, unfocused, or give up easily. There are a whole block of people like that in the world. They existed in Solomon's time. And so when he wrote the book of Proverbs, there's a number of Proverbs who talks about the sluggard, the lazy person who always has an excuse why today it won't happen, today it won't work, why I didn't get that homework assignment done, why it isn't possible to get the job I want or whatever else. And so if we're inconsistent, if we're unfocused, if we're quick starters, but then we kind of lose our focus along the way. It's not just starting that's important, it's finishing. And to be consistent, consistent, consistent. You can have a stone, and if you have a sledgehammer, it's an unyielding stone, and you just no great force. And you just keep about every second, and you just keep hitting. Somewhere down the road, you're going to do a stroke and that whole thing's just going to crumble. Let me tell you, consistency. It's not how well you start off. It's just being consistent, just being easy, and being focused. Would you agree it's not always easy to stay focused? There are a lot of other things vying for your attention and other people vying for your attention. But if we don't stay focused, and if we're not consistent, or if it doesn't take a lot to make us give up, if we're easily discouraged, we'll never really. I have here written here, anything of value requires persistence and sustained effort. Anything of value requires persistence and sustained effort. Those who tire or lose interest quickly will never achieve anything truly great or lasting. Number three, you probably will not make a difference if you don't like to rock the boat or make waves. Now, just being a troublemaker for troublemaker's sake, believe me, I've run into my share of those people. And that's not what we're talking about. But if we know right is on our side and we are still willing to keep our mouth shut, once again, we've got our priorities wrong and we will not make a true difference. Troublemakers never achieve great things, but neither do those who so fear conflict that they are intimidated by others to the point of sacrificing their dreams, vision, or in some cases, even their calling. didn't go to the mission field because Uncle so-and-so didn't think it was a good idea. Whatever. Number four, you will probably not make a difference if you are self-centered and self-absorbed. Ever met any of those people? Can't stop looking in the mirror. Always have to have, if world centers around them, well, they get their way, but they don't make any difference in the world. If your own perceived wants or needs are always at the forefront, you'll likely never achieve anything of value. You'll be too busy getting your own way and pleasing yourself to achieve anything worthwhile. Number five, you will probably not make a difference if you are afraid to leave your comfort zone or take risks. It's not comfortable leaving our comfort zone at any age. Let me tell you a little secret that I think I know. It gets harder as you get older. I see some people smiling. But you'll never achieve. And if God is leading you in a direction, be bold. I've heard that courage is not the lack of fear. Courage is being scared out of your wits and climbing up on that horse anyway. Rocking the boat is one thing, but some people are so afraid of trying anything new or leaving their comfort zone that they won't even venture out when there is no visible opposition, or in some cases, even when there are other people encouraging them to step out and give it a try, and they still won't do it. These people are defeated before they start. Never be afraid to take a risk for something you truly believe in. Of course, that's another subject, but today one problem is a lot of people don't have anything they really believe in. Number six, you will probably not make a difference if you are unwilling to work hard and make sacrifices. And now, we can apply that to anything. It's wonderful to visualize something. I want to be a veterinarian, I want to be a this, I want to be a that. And then you go through, Bennett's been talking every week with the children about, to get this, you got to do this. How do we prepare? And then the real work starts, and we figure out, oh, man, woo, this, got to sweat. Got to get dirty. Got to roll up my sleeves. Got to be sleep deprived part of the time. My, I didn't know it was going to be this hard. And I don't want to give this up. So, you got to make a choice. You can't have it. How many are old enough to know you can't have it both ways? How many are old enough to know that? So, if we're not willing to work hard, I don't care what it is, pastor, teacher, custodian, burger flipper, doctor, it doesn't matter. But if we're unwilling to work hard and make sacrifices, we'll never achieve anything worthwhile. We can achieve something worthwhile in what some people would consider a lowly position, but we've still got to give it our best and work hard. Can I hear an amen? We've got to work hard. There's nothing in the Bible, I've checked, there's nothing in the Bible against hard work. In fact, if you read the book of Proverbs, a lot of the Proverbs are about industry and diligence and getting on out there. And anything worth doing is not usually easy or without problems. See, we have these rosy ideas. Oh, I'm just going to go out there and it's it. No, not really. Hard work and sacrifice are part of the cost of achieving anything worthwhile. The lazy will not inherit the earth, and those unwilling to make sacrifices will not long be remembered. The price for success is hard work and sacrifice in any setting, any culture, any time period, and any economy. Using hard times as an excuse is exactly that, just an excuse. Hard work and sacrifice are what made this nation great, and hard work and sacrifice are still the road to individual success. I don't care how Christian you are. I don't care how spiritual you are. If you're not willing to work hard and make sacrifices, you won't achieve anything of great significance. Number 7, you will probably not make a difference if you are willing to follow the crowd, take the way of least resistance, or pattern your life after the values of those around you. This is similar to being a people pleaser, but it's not identical. It's just giving in to the general culture. And it with the media and all that and everything now, I mean, it is hard. It's getting harder. It's always been hard. It's getting harder to be counterculture. Now, we're not counterculture just to be counterculture, but I would challenge you with this. How can you be the disciple Jesus Christ says you ought to be and not be counterculture? Is that possible? I don't think so. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to what? Destruction. And many there be that go in thereout, but straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Dedicated Christians are not crowd followers. They do not take the way of least resistance, and they definitely don't pattern their lives after the values of the people around them. And to please the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, again, we're not different just to be different, but to please the Lord Jesus Christ, we should wear that as a badge of honor. To make a difference, you must be willing to be different. Let's say that again. To make a difference, you must be willing, you must be different and think differently. To make a difference, you must be different and think differently. You must be able to think outside the box. And what better way to do that than to pattern your life by the Scriptures and be a follower of Jesus? Because I guarantee you today, that is outside the box. Number 8. You will probably not make a difference if you lack strong personal convictions, a strong foundation of faith, and a clear sense of purpose. Strong convictions, I don't know. Seems like they're getting harder to come by. Some of us are old enough to know when people had strong convictions, especially about morality and the things of God. It wasn't even a question, you know. They wouldn't even, don't go there. It's not going to happen. Strong convictions, a foundation of faith, and a clear sense of purpose are intangibles that give rise to the tangible and the visible. The strength of a person's convictions can't be measured by a meter strapped to someone's arm. Faith can't be detected with the natural eye, and a sense of purpose can't be put in a test tube or under a microscope and analyzed like a chemical or a biological sample. You can't see the amount of power leaving a dynamo at the power plant either. And yet whole cities run off of that power. And as soon as that power fails, you know it. Everything comes to a dead standstill. In like manner, it's our personal convictions, our active faith, and a clear sense of purpose that are the driving forces in our lives, and without them, we'll never go very far. Believe me, if these are missing, it will show. The effects will be unmistakable and sometimes tragic. And so, young people, you who have been raised knowing the Word of God and knowing the gospel, knowing it doesn't mean a thing unless those convictions are your convictions. Doesn't mean a thing. So are those your convictions or not? And that's an area where you're going to have to decide, are those my convictions? And that faith, just because you know the stuff, doesn't mean you have that daily faith that you're living by it. So, and from those two come the other one, I believe, the sense of purpose. From knowing the Lord, from trusting the Lord, and from having strong convictions about His Word. And then somewhere in there, the Holy Spirit begins to work, and He gives us a sense of purpose. And this is a critical time in your life. It really is. And I know you got a lot on your mind, but never be too busy to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Number 9. You will probably not make a difference if you fail to establish the habits and practices of a true follower of Jesus. And this is totally separate and apart from having been raised in church. This is totally separate and apart from I was raised in South Norfolk Christian Church, or South Norfolk Baptist Church, or Chesapeake Avenue United Methodist Church, or Port Lock United Methodist Church, or Raleigh Heights Baptist Church, or Rosemont Christian Church, or Southside Baptist. It's a totally separate thing from that. It is taking what we have learned about the Christian life and beginning to practice it and weave it in so that it is really a part of our daily life and our daily routine. And the biggest temptation that I see when young people reach that college age and they're leaving home for the first time, the first things that begin to fall by the wayside are regular church attendance, the Bible reading, the prayer. Those are the first things to go. And if there's ever a time in your life when you really need them, you may not know it now, but if there's a time in your life when you really need them, it is now. Do not. And here's the other thing. Well, let me just read what I wrote. This is the most important one of all. And by my personal observation over the years, the most neglected component in the lives of young people just starting out on their own or heading to college. Life is so busy, dreams loom so large, plans are so absorbing and totally consuming, current relationships are so exciting and tantalizing that the obvious little things just begin to get neglected and fall by the wayside. Other things move front and center, and the daily disciplines of Christian living just fade into the background until they almost disappear. We tell ourselves that other things are just more important right now, and that the Lord will understand. We tell ourselves that we still believe as much as we ever did, and that the Lord knows that and understands. We tell ourselves that later, when life begins to settle down, there will be plenty of time to pick back up where we left off, little realizing that what we don't do today, we won't do tomorrow, and that life never really does settle down. How many are old enough to know that one? Life never does. Now is the time to establish those patterns and to make them non-negotiable. So that idea that, you know, later, whatever, it's a great deception and it's a fatal mistake. The most important years of our lives, however hectic, should be the time when we pay the closest attention to the things that will make us successful in the long run and that will build a strong, enduring, lasting, meaningful, and genuine relationship with the Lord. Whatever we think is more important today than reading our Bible, spending some time in prayer, attending a study with our Bible study with our Christian friends, being in church the lion's share of the time, and sharing our faith on a regular basis. Whatever we think is more important than that isn't. And whatever we're substituting the things of the Lord with will fade away and let us down in the end. The only person other than ourselves sometimes and our non-Christian friends and a few demons that think those other things are more important than the things of the Lord is the devil. And he does not have our best interest at heart. Why should we help him to make a mess of our lives? I view life as two tracks for the believer. Someone who is not a practicing Christian, railroad. You see the railroad over there at Seaboard? How many tracks? Two. People that don't know the Lord or aren't serving the Lord, they only have one track in their lives. And it's just whatever their dreams are, whatever their ambitions are, whatever their plans are, however they see the world, however they interpret morality or whatever. But for the Christian, there's that track of career and of life and of marriage and all that, and then there's this track over here, which is our walk with the Lord. And every Christian has to have those two tracks. And if we don't have the two tracks, then we're operating on a single track. So when we're living our lives and our Bible reading falls off and our daily prayer time with the Lord falls off and those daily disciplines of actually, I don't mean just believing, oh yeah, I believe in God and I believe, no. I'm talking about daily now. I'm talking about daily. These are two daily tracks. And so there's this track, and the two run parallel and side by side. And so as I walk with the Lord and as I spend time in His Word and commune with Him, then He gives me guidance. He gives me direction. He gives me correction. He gives me encouragement. He gives me what I need to make the right choices and the right decisions. And when I let that drop off, I've gone back to a single track, just like the rest of the world, and that track doesn't lead anywhere. So that's why I tell you, right now is the important time. While you're young, right now, you say, I'm going to make sure I've got my two tracks. And that's what it will take. You can make a difference by the world standard on one track, but you can't make a difference the way the Lord wants you to make a difference with one track. In order to make the difference in the world He wants you to make, you've got to have the two tracks running all the time. And now is the time to do that. Number 10, aren't you glad? You probably won't make a difference if you are hesitant to involve others or invest in others. And let me tell you something, even serving the Lord isn't a one-person thing. I mean, only you can worship God for yourself and all that. But any work for God is a team effort. Can I hear an amen? It's a team effort. Darrell and Kyla Palmer, do they work alone? They've got team members working. And see, this is all about the kingdom. You and I, we're just one little cog in the kingdom. And it takes all of us. So if God's calling me to something, if He's beginning to use me in an area, it's not a one-man show or a one-woman show. It's who can I bring along? Who can I encourage? Who can I get involved? And so that's how the kingdom grows. And that's how real differences are made. When God gives you a vision, gives you a calling, something catches on fire in you. Have you ever noticed that when a fire starts, anything that you put real near it usually catches on fire too? And it begins to spread. And so that's how God works. Whatever your vision or calling, at the point you begin to involve others is when you go from simply being a follower of Jesus to being a leader. The lives you invest in are the people God will work in and through to help you achieve the vision, mission, or calling the Lord has given you. By bringing these people to your side to assist you and involving them in what you're doing for the Lord, you're giving them the opportunity to grow, learn, and be blessed. One day they will thank you for letting them be a part, for your investment in them, and you will be blessed by knowing that you didn't keep to yourself what the Lord entrusted to you. And you'll smile knowing you did the right thing. I just want to close this morning with two verses of Scripture. In the book of Romans, Paul spends 11 chapters laying some groundwork of God's master plan for the world and for the ages. And then in chapter 12, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, young people, graduates, fellow Christians, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." And then he starts talking about giftedness and how God may use you. Graduates, we wish you all the best. And may this be the beginning. Whatever the next step is, may it be the beginning of something great God will do in your lives. But always keep Him first, because that is the most important thing. If we don't, one day, I don't know when, but one day, we'll regret it. Shall we pray? Father, thank you that you have offered and faithfully promised to give us the guidance that we need. And thank you, Lord, that you've given us your word. I think it was David, whoever wrote that psalm, said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Lord, we want to walk in the light of your word. And as we do that, you will lead us. You didn't say that you couldn't do it in the 21st century. You can do it now just as surely as you've done it at any time in history. And we need and you need brave young men and women who will make a choice early on to keep you first in their lives, to open up themselves to you and let you work any way you want to, that will bring glory to you, that will be lights for you, and that will influence the people around them for good. Lord, bless these young people. Strengthen them. Give them courage. Give them resolve to do the right thing and to follow you no matter the cost. And one day we'll hear you say, and they'll hear you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Now I'm going to make you ruler of many things. Come in and share your master's happiness." Lord, we thank you for your grace in our lives to this point. Lead us on by that same grace day by day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we close, we have a closing hymn. I'm always down front. And if there's any prayer requests or if there's a decision in your life you feel this morning you need to make, whether it's rededication, coming to Jesus and offering yourself to Him for the first time, whatever that might be, feel free to come and share it during this hymn.